As we were driving this morning, my son is visiting my daughter, which is handy because that way we get to drop off the stuff that we have for her and pick up the stuff that she still has from us. Everybody wins. And I have somebody to talk to. And I asked Clayton just very briefly, I said, the sermon title this Sunday is It's a Choice. What does that mean to you? And he, being an honest, commendable young fella, said nothing. And I thought, well, that's all right. I have yet to come up with a sermon title that affects everybody in any way at all, let alone the same way. But the sermon title, It's a Choice, comes to me from, it begins within Deuteronomy, where you have this whole big part about how I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Then in this translation, it says eventually, choose which one you want. Now, one of the things interesting about the choices we're going to be talking about today is that none of them are choices, really. Choose death? Okay. Or choose life? Like, that, it's a choice, I suppose. And no doubt there are some people who would choose one, the odd one. But at the same time, even though it's not a choice, it is still a choice. And Moses is setting before the people the understanding that they are not being commanded to think in a particular way at the expense of their own humanity or their fullness of themselves. The mystery of choice in Scripture is a tricky one, because we have passages of Scripture that friends of mine will tell you that you have no choice whatsoever. You are predestined to wherever you're going to go before the beginning of all things, so that it's kind of pointless trying to make any choices. They don't live their life that way, because nobody can. And so instead, I want us to think about this whole idea of choosing. In Deuteronomy, we have choose life or choose death. That's pretty straightforward. And then in Paul's letter to Philemon, we have him saying, I need you to make a choice. When I was younger, and before I'd come to anything like a meaningful faith in God, I was well familiar with the book of Philemon. If nothing else, it's the shortest one in the Bible. And if you want to tell somebody you are reading a whole book of the Bible, that's the one to pick. Well, the letters of John are pretty short too. But Philemon, it's got a nice little story. I really like Philemon. We spent an entire semester translating Philemon, basically going through it a phrase at a time. And I learned more about Greek through Philemon than maybe anything else. I did learn that I had a long way to go if I was ever going to function in it on a regular basis. But still, when I was younger, I looked at this and I said, this shouldn't be in the Bible. This is a classic example of psychological manipulation, is how I saw it. And you can still make a bit of a case for that. Because as Paul comes along saying, I want you to take Onesimus back. I want you to bring him back, not as a slave, not as a runaway slave who in that culture could be instantly executed for running away, but as more than a slave, as a brother in Christ. You know, and I could order you, but I won't. And I want you to do this for me. Do whatever you want. But don't forget, you owe me your very life. There's a bit of massaging that goes along in there. And so the choice, is it a choice? And then our gospel lesson, we have the choice of, will you pay attention to what it means to follow Jesus? And Jesus gives a couple of interesting examples. If you want to build a tower, you not sit down, estimate the cost and all that kind of thing, which is sort of understandable. And then he brings in this whole business about a king with 10,000 troops opposing somebody with 20,000. Do you choose to try and sue for peace, come to some kind of an agreement? And as a failed attempted military historian, I'll tell you right now, all things being equal, if you're outnumbered 2-1, you should go and talk about things and see if you can put off a battle, unless you're unusually gifted. Choices are all through here. And part of me looks at them and says, well, those aren't really choices. And yet again, they are. I think it's Viktor Frankl who says that between every stimulus and response, you have a moment when you can choose what your response will be. And that's what I want us to think about, because none of us are building towers, I don't think. We don't have armies going to war. We're not on the side of a mountain with Moses haranguing us for hours and hours. We're not even getting a letter directly to us from Paul. But over and over again, through Scripture, we see that we are called to make choices. And most of us make choices without even thinking about them. And that's okay. That's just the efficiency of the human mind. You know, when I'm going to a door, I don't choose to open the door before I try and walk through it. Maybe I didn't make that choice when I was really little and learned that that's a foolish choice to try and walk through a closed door. So there's all these choices that we can look at from that perspective. But there's also lots of other choices that we make, not because they're obvious and physics helps us make the right choice, but we choose things because of how we were raised, because of how our experiences have shaped us. And we're moving close to a service of reconciliation. We're moving close to a service of remembrance of 150 years of service. Presbyterian Church has been in Canada for 150 years, a little bit more now, and has done some extraordinarily good things. Some bad things as well, because the church is made up of people just like me, and any church that has me in it will never achieve perfection. And so sometimes we make choices not because we think through what we're doing, but because that's just what we know. And that's okay up to a point. The difficulty comes when we say we didn't have a choice. I had to refer to that person by that particular racial epithet because that's what I grew up with. I had to refer to that person with a disability with that particular word because that's what I grew up with. And I hear this often from people, that what I was made into, I'm stuck with. And sometimes that's true, but most of the time, it isn't. My father was one of those people who would tell a story, and he was a spectacularly good storyteller. He would tell you the same story that you'd heard 50 times, and it would be just as effective and just as funny or as touching as it was the first time. I remember when he stood up at our wedding reception, and he said, after following all these eloquent people, my brothers and others, what am I going to do? And I leaned over to Hadley and I said, he's going to make us laugh, and then he's going to make us cry, and then he's going to make us laugh again, which he then proceeded to do, because he could do that. And yet my father was quite capable, progressive as he was, of telling stories that began with, well, I saw a particular fill-in-the-ethnic-blank driver do this thing. And I remember asking him once, as I got older, and I began to realize, wait a second, what does that have to do with it? Does it make any difference? Are you saying something about that ethnic group when you bring that in? And he was sort of taken aback. And I realized that that was part of what he grew up with. That was part of how you describe things. If somebody didn't look like you, you always mentioned what they look like. Well, that's a choice, to continue doing that once you know it's there. And of all the things that my children have given me, and they have given me much more, I think, than I've given them, they seem to think the same in reverse, so I guess we're probably doing pretty well. They have given me a new set of eyes for all sorts of things that I have just said in passing, and my children, who I raised, perhaps foolishly, to have minds of their own, said, what's that got to do with it? Why bring that in? And it's opened my eyes to the fact that we have choices that we often forget we have. I don't know how recently you filled out a form, but there's all kinds of forms that ask for your gender. Why? Well, we've started challenging that and asking why, and the answer always comes back to, unless it's a medical form, is, well, because it's there. And we've said, well, we're not going to answer that question. Well, you have to. Bring on the troops. You know, no, we don't have to. That's just a question that's been there forever. Probably goes back to the days when women weren't allowed to get credit cards or get loans or write checks by themselves. And they wanted to make sure that whoever it was wasn't one of those. We can choose to do the right thing, even when it's hard. We are sometimes told that we can't make a difference. And often it's in the context of things that are enormous, like climate change. You can't make a difference. Well, yes, I can. I can make a difference, because even if my recycling doesn't change the situation of the world, it changes me. If I recycle because I think this contributes to climate change is a problem to the world, the earth, that God created and said was good, and we were made stewards of it, not owners that we could dispose of it as we wished, I become a better person. Because I have found very few people who are careful about what they do in the world that aren't also careful about people. Seems to go hand in hand. And if I make those choices, even though people will tell me it's a pointless choice, they're missing the point of why I'm doing it. Every time I'm really working hard at not thinking for other people, because I do such a lousy job of it. Every time I choose the good thing, I become a little better. I become a little more attuned to those bad things, and then maybe I can address them. It never crossed my mind to speak up to women who were being spoken over when I was 18, because that wasn't something that ever crossed my mind. And then as my mother began to talk about it, and I began to see it, and I began to become aware of this, I realized I have a choice here. I can choose to be silent and let this continue, or I can say something. And let me tell you, the first time you do this, it has the potential to make you quite nervous, quite anxious. It certainly did for me. When I said, wait a second. Let her finish. Because it wasn't my meeting. I wasn't the boss. A little worried. Turned out okay for me, I'm grateful to say. But it doesn't always. I've been called woke many times. I'm okay with that. As far as I can tell, woke means treating people with dignity and being generally civil. I'm okay with those things. But when I choose those things, when I choose those right things, what I need to remember also is that I'm also choosing to be that kind of person. When the twins were little, we used to tell them, you can wear whatever you want, you can do whatever you want with your hair, because both of them, we just didn't. There's just way bigger things to fight with your kids over than that. And then as they got older, we continued that. You know, when they're 8 or 9, it's no big deal. When they're 15, 16, 17, we said, you can wear whatever you like, but you need to remember, you can't control what people think of you when you dress that way. And I'm not telling you not to dress that way, whether it is too formal or too, let's just call it informal and leave it at that. And if people think of you that way and put you in a particular box, that's a choice that you have made, because they've made the choice to put you in that box. Choosing to pick up your cross as Jesus says, those who follow me will pick up their cross. It's a choice. And when we choose to do that, we choose, whether we know it or not, to step outside of the main, to stand up for the people who can't stand up for themselves, to do the right thing, popular or not. But when we choose to do the right thing, it makes us more the people we want to be. Jesus didn't say, pick up the cross because it'll make you miserable, full stop. Jesus said, when we pick up our cross and follow Christ, we are moving into the people we were created to be. We were created to be in relationship with God. The fallen world in which we live, unfortunately, comes with crosses. Sometimes those crosses are really hard to carry. They're really hard to bear. But when we do, we're still moving in the direction that we want to move towards, because it's leading us to the ultimate destination of being as much in the image of God as we can be, conformed to the image of Christ, being as much like Jesus as we're able. But it means we have to choose. And we have to choose to pick up that cross. And sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it costs us things. But we still need to choose. Amen.